My dad, he used to offer to pay people to come and play me one-on-one. So I grew up playing against good defenders who were grown men.
Welcome to Hoop Chuck Basketball Podcast, where it's all about raising your game so your coach won't think you're lame. And now your host, Moses and Troy Horn.
What is up, everybody?
Hi.
Welcome to the second of the doubleheader of Hoop Chuck on Mondays.
Yes.
How are you doing?
Great. Just got done stomping on one player's image and...
I'm not trying to stomp on him. I just think, you know, it's like the greatest of all times. It's like we get into all these emotional arguments. We ain't trying to be emotional. We're trying to follow numbers and data and stuff and stuff. Right here, it's snowing a blizzard outside, and you're getting ready to go to the gym.
Yep.
Oh, why? Just want to get some ball in? Ball is life.
What else are we going to do? Our games got canceled.
You can go in there and put some work in?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, wouldn't it be cool if you had a big barn with a shoot away in it like John Hildebrandt?
Yes, that would be cool. That would be amazing.
So you've been watching the Super Handle videos. What are some things that you got from, because you got super shooting from John Hildebrandt?
Wait. We talk about that in the podcast.
Oh, you guys have to listen.
Sorry. In the podcast. We can't just spoil it right now.
All right. So... is there anything you want to say? Okay, so the first time you saw John Hildebrandt super handles, what were you thinking? Aside from that's an amazingly cool place you've got to work out.
I saw John Hildebrandt, and really, I remember this one line that we use a lot from him.
What's that?
Swing the purse.
I love that. Yeah. Swing the purse. Because a long time ago, we got the, the super handles.
Ball handling thing.
Yeah, it was like, swing the purse. And now we're actually in the Super Handles University, which is kind of cool. Are you ready to see what your rating's going to be?
Ooh.
You think it'd be like 50, 60, 70, 80?
100.
Ooh, okay.
No, not really. I'm just kidding. I'm going to be 100.
You're going to be 100. He said, I'm going to be 100. Well, let's take a listen. You guys, this is one of the best interviews. There are a lot of free things over at superhandles.com. There are a lot of things that you need to subscribe to and pay for on superhandles.com. But either way, John is a really cool dude. John, if you're listening, I want to thank you so much for hopping on this podcast with us. And for everyone else, check out superhandles.com and check out the rest of this interview. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. John Hildebrandt.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Hoop Chuck Basketball Podcast. My name is Troy Horn. I'm here with...
Moses Horn.
And today, we have on an amazing guest. I mean, I've been watching you, John, for like years. Super Handles, John Hildebrandt. Can you say hello, please, sir?
Hi, and I really thank you a lot for having me on this podcast. I'm delighted to be here.
So, before we get started here, can you tell me like a little bit, I mean, you've had a pretty amazing journey in just watching your videos and stuff like that. You have like a whole gym like upstairs in like a building or something like that, or?
Well, it's in Dayton, Oregon, and it's where I grew up. It's about 6 miles outside of Dayton. It's an old barn that was built in 1938, and it has been renovated. And the basketball court is upstairs in the barn.
Nice. Well, it looks like a basketball kid's dream right there, man. That's pretty amazing that you have that there.
Well, I've been blessed to have it, and I've had just wonderful parents to support me through the years and even today. So, and it's really nice to be able to share it with others. So, one of these days, if you're ever in Oregon, let me know.
Oh, well, you know what? It's funny. Well, we'll have to do that, definitely. What is it? And what is the thing you're doing with Billups in?
I think it's the Adidas
tournament
Invitational.
In somewhere. But anyways.
Yeah. When is that?
It's like the 18th or something like that. But I'm trying to remember. It's like near the Nike. It's in Portland. Well, I don't know why that took so long to come up with. But it's important that they're doing an Adidas Nike tournament or Adidas tournament in February 18th or something like that But anyways. Well,
hey, we're only about an hour away.
Oh, that'd be cool to come up and see it in real life. That'd be really cool.
Mm-hmm. We'd love to have you.
Cool.
So what was it like to take your team to state championships multiple times?
Well, we have we had a very small community, still do, and it's a smaller school. And our high school team hadn't been to state since 1981. And my junior year, we were able to make it to state and win the state championship, and thankfully did it again the next year. But preparing for that started years before, and my dad and my mentor, Bruce Moore, they put in us what it could be like to win a state championship. And that was our goal. And we dedicated ourselves to it year round. Wow. And thankfully it happened. And for those of you out there that know what it's like living in a small town, it's wonderful to have your town behind you. And we got to experience that. It's just a tremendous, tremendous thing to be a part of.
Nice. Well, I mean, just from watching your videos and seeing, you know, one thing I have to say with your super shooting video, I love, like, we've watched that thing and I loved that you said you don't have to square your feet up to the basket. I know. That was
a little surprising to me. I'm like, because I was taught differently than when I heard that little bit of a shot.
Yeah, I was taught many of those things too, to right. point your feet at the basket and to square up. But as my mentor told me, he said, "Hey, one of the only square things I know is a brick, and I don't want to be shooting any of those."
Definitely. You know what's funny? What's his name? Trey, the one that's right now in OU. Moses, what is his name?
Trey Young.
I watch a lot of video of guys, you know, that play. And as soon as I watched your video, which you guys should go get right now if you can over at superhandles.com. But as soon as I watched your video, I started watching Trey Young play. And he does exactly what you were talking about. He's not squared up. He squares up in the air. He shoots from, like, any position on the floor. And it's just like, man, this is amazing.
Well, cool. I appreciate the kind words, but it can really alleviate tension that players have in their shot. When you're shooting with one hand and you're trying to square up, you're basically shooting against yourself.
Right.
And so if you can just be more comfortable with your foot placement and body placement, then you can have a much smoother shot.
Yeah. No, that's very cool. Yeah, it's very cool. So, like you, I'm assuming, just from watching your stuff, Moses has also been the target of, like, double teams and boxing ones and all the, you know, where they go, okay, well, this kid is, you know, a talented player, so we're going to double team him, whatever else. I want to ask you, what do you suggest for players who often find themselves double teamed or triple teamed? I mean, cause I'm pretty sure you probably encountered the same thing. It's like, what do you suggest for them to do to kind of find the space and still be able to be a contributor to the game?
Yeah, I think that they need to prepare for the double teams ahead of time. So this goes to the workout curriculum. What are you doing to be able to prepare for intense double team pressure?
Right.
If you're only working by yourself all the time and you're never working against anyone else,
right,
then you're probably not preparing yourself to handle that type of pressure. And then when you are experiencing that type of pressure, you can pick one. And one little thing that you could do in a game is just pick the weaker of the two defenders and attack that defender. That's something tactical. But when you're practicing, it's good to go against the best of pressure and to go against double teams. But, you know, it's interesting that you ask about that, because in our curriculum, we define being game ready as, one, being able to create and make your own shot under extreme pressure, and two, being able to deliver the strategic pass against individual and team pressure, and then number three, being able to consistently handle single and double team pressure off the dribble. And these are things you can train for. So you can prepare for it ahead of time.
Okay, so, like, you're talking about the Super Handles University, right?
We do include that in the university, yes.
Yeah, which is cool, which is really cool, because you can get, like, you can rate yourself on where you are and then become, like, you know, up to 100 points or something like that. Is that correct?
Yeah, so every basketball player in the world, if they would take our eval, they would mm-hmm. fall somewhere between 0 and 100. And this right. would include beginners all the way up to pro players. Everyone would fall between 0 and 100. And then based upon that rating, then you're prescribed a curriculum that is designed for your skill level. And then you follow it. And then the next step is to eval again after 30 days. And then you repeat the process.
Nice.
What made you create Super Handles University?
Well, I tell you, when I was growing up, I remember initially seeing a video called Michael Jordan's Playground, and I was inspired to play basketball. And I loved watching Michael Jordan. And my parents also got me the movie The Pistol, The Birth of a Legend.
Yeah, man.
And oh, yeah.
You both seen that?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, very inspirational. And so I started doing Maravich's instructional videos after that, and I do them continually. And then, Moses, you asked about what inspired Super Handles University. Well, as I was doing Maravich's drills every day, I felt like I was working out with him.
Oh,
and,
nice.
And in the seventh grade, I wrote down as one of my goals to have my own instructional series one day. Because nice. as I was growing up, some people would notice my ball handling or skill with the ball, and they wanted to learn what I was doing. And so I would do various demonstrations as I was growing up, and then we eventually decided to develop a video series. So after my senior year of high school, we started filming. And then in about 2004, my dad asked me to come up with a way to rate a player's skill. And so that led to a lot of testing. The original evaluation that we did that was actually based solely upon ball handling, the first part of it took about 4 hours to do it.
Wow.
Because I wanted it to be as extensive as possible.
Yeah.
And then but that wasn't very user friendly, and we the thing is there was a lot of great information that we were able to obtain from doing all those tests.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually we were able to make a condensed version, and then also include shooting and other skills within the eval.
Nice. Well, that's very, very cool. It's mm-hmm. very cool.
It's been a process.
Because on your video, you said it took you guys a year to put this whole thing together. That's pretty cool.
For super shooting?
Oh, maybe I'm getting the all-come super shooting. I thought it was for Super Handles University.
Oh, the university, it's been it's been many, many years. So we first started filming in the summer of 2002, we've been gradually filming content for the university since then. It wasn't called the university initially, but we've had various programs, and then we were able to combine everything within the university based on skill rating, and then assigning the curriculum accordingly.
Nice. Let me ask you this question, because I see you on there working with, pro athletes as well. And I think every kid, kind of wants to do that path of going, to D1 or playing in the NBA or playing overseas. I have a question. Since this is an AAU podcast, do you think it's important for kids to play, circuit ball or AAU ball to kind of reach those goals? Or what are your thoughts on that whole deal?
That's a really good question. I think that it depends upon the player's skill level, their age,
mm-hmm.
and their playing schedule. Like, for example, if a 12-year-old kid mm-hmm. is a level 4 in our curriculum,
nice.
And the AAU schedule calls for numerous out-of-state tournaments within, let's say, a short period of time,
right.
then this player would probably be better suited developing those skills that would empower them to be successful against good competition.
Right.
But, and I think that sometimes I see this where a parent may think that simply having their son or daughter play AAU without the skill development, but just playing the games, it's the best way to transform their game. And, but this person would be mistaken.
Right.
I think that it needs to, if one is going to maximize their potential, of course, games are vital, but there has to be the skill development to go with it if they want to reach their potential.
Nice, nice. No, I agree with you because, I mean, you know, it's definitely something that people need to do. It's like, I think sometimes people believe that, you know, you can just have it, but I think there's also a lot of work that goes in, especially these days, because I think a lot of kids and young players are doing a lot of work. So the skill level is, I think, going up, you know. That would be
my is that what you've noticed in your tournaments?
Yeah, I've noticed that, you know, for instance, I'll have friends that either played, you know, professionally or played at a higher level, and they'll come in and they'll say, you need to relax, you know, they need to calm down, because it's like the stuff that these kids are doing, I wasn't doing until high school. but then I'm like, well, the fact that they're doing it now only tells me that by the time they get to high school, the skill level is going to be so much higher if they don't work on, like you said, work on their skills, you know, because kids are being introduced to stuff at, you know, 13, 14, 15 that they might not have seen until they were, you know, 16 or 17 or 15 before. So,
yeah, I'm sure if you're seeing that type of skill set, then those players are probably working on it. You know, but there are a lot that aren't. Right. Some people are just playing the games and they think it's going to make a huge difference in their game.
Well, that's interesting.
Well, probably more than 50% of the parents with kids who want to play in play basketball live in a non-basketball state.
Yeah.
Or a small town. First, in the middle of the country, what would you suggest for us? How to get seen or how to go to the next level?
That's a really good question, Moses.
And that is a great place to take a break. What is up, everybody?
Hi.
Distracto Man is over there playing with light.
No, like I'm not.
Anyway, as summer is coming up.
Balance something.
And summer's coming up, and what do people usually do in the summer?
They go to summer camps.
Basketball summer camps. You know what our biggest worry for me as a parent for basketball summer camps was?
Nope.
That we're going to waste our freaking time. And that you're going to go there. Actually, it happened a couple times. We're not going to name any camps. We're just going to give you guys the good camps that we went to. But you happened a couple times where you went to camps and it was like, you know, hey, today we're going to work on one-handed dribbling with your eyes open, watching the ball. It wasn't really that bad, but it was kind of like, you know, not so great. And then, I'm not going to go into it. Anyways, the thing that people worry about as parents is I want to make sure that I find a great camp for my kid. I want to make sure that I send my kid to a place that either is going to help him hang out with his friends or help him get exposure or help him get better or help her do whatever, you know, become a better basketball player, whatever it is. Well, right now we're putting together a list of basketball camps that we've attended and that we've liked and ones that are coming up. We're also going to do some interviews coming up with the heads of basketball camp programs so that you guys can hear exactly from the straight from the horse's mouth what exactly
I've is... never heard
you
that.
You never heard that? Straight from the horse's mouth?
Straight from the horse's mouth. Interesting.
That's right. It's a colloquialism. You'll hear it soon. Well, actually, you just heard it, so there you go. You hear straight from them exactly what their camps are and what they are about and go out there and register for the ones that fit your needs. So, with that being said, everybody go to hoopchalk.com/summercamp. Again, that's hoopchalk.com/summercamp. And sign up for that list. And as soon as we get this done, we will send it out to you so that you can get your free guide to how to pick a summer camp and some of the summer camps that we would suggest that you go to.
Yeah.
Now, back to the show. Lego.
First, I think that if your goal is to get seen, then it's imperative to develop a skill set that would actually be attractive to college coaches. You don't need to hire a high-priced trainer to transform your son or daughter's skills. You can do it at home. Mm-hmm. But like many from small towns may not have access to the best trainers or programs, but if they have the internet, they can have access. Right. And that's what we've tried to make available with our university. But it's paramount. Like when I was growing up, I mentioned earlier, I come from a small town. It's paramount to consistently play one-on-one against good defenders.
Okay.
We're, like, for example, we're about an hour from Portland, but my dad, he used to offer to pay people to come and play me one-on-one.
Nice.
And so I grew up playing against good defenders who were grown men.
Oh, and cool. Like for
one example is when I was a freshman in high school, there was a guard who started for University of Oregon at the time, and this would have been towards the end of my freshman year, and his name was Mike McShane. And Mike McShane was a player I'd watched when he was in high school, and he's a 6'4 point guard, and he's very fast getting the ball up the floor. It was really fun watching him, so I looked up to him from when I first saw him.
Right.
As a sixth grader. And so my dad called his dad on the phone and said, hey, I'd like to try to set up a workout with your son. I think that my son can help him with his ball handling, and he could help my son as well, because my dad wanted me to work out with him. And
right.
So it worked out. So we started working out together, and Mike would play me, and I tell you, it was a great experience playing against a guy like that was just a terrific defender, and he was quick and much bigger than me at the time. I mean, well, still bigger than me now, but it was even more so then. So
wow.
But
that's cool.
The type of thing that you can do, even when you're from a small area, a small town, you can either hire somebody or get somebody to play one-on-one against your son or daughter that will push him or her to really get better, to be uncomfortable, to expose weaknesses. And then in turn, if you do it consistently, it can make a big difference in a player's game.
Yeah, that's a good idea, because, I mean, there are probably a lot of parents like myself who didn't play basketball and don't really know much about basketball, but we're learning as we go so we can support, you know, our kid here. But it's like, that's a great idea to go hire someone to, you know, that plays to come and play against, you know, your son or daughter. That's really cool. That's very
cool. Gosh, it makes a huge difference if you do it consistently. Mm-hmm. So my dad, he would encourage the people that he'd have play me to be physical with me.
To
really beat up on me a little bit. Nothing cheap, but
right,
to be physical.
Right. Definitely. Well, one of the biggest things that we like about your videos is that you help kids get out of the box, get out of the, you know, traditional, you know, stuff that we're taught that obviously, you know, slows your game down if you're looking to play as you begin to advance. You know, what would you tell parents who have kids who are, you know, great in training but can't seem to transition it to the game?
That's a really good question. And I have three questions in response to that.
Sure, sure.
So number one would be, what is being drilled? Number two would be, what is meant by great? And then number three would be, can't do it or won't do it in a game.
Okay.
So I think those are three different questions that would need to be asked.
Nice. Nice. Okay. I think the first one, you know, I'll say, so the first one was what is being drilled? And I think ask that, that's a really good point, because I think a lot of times they do ball handling drills or whatever that actually you could never do or would never do in the game. So I guess that's something, you know, that's a good point to think about, you know?
Yeah, and I think that it's paramount through a game-ready progression that, yeah, there are some drills where you may be working on a specific thing, such as your hand quickness,
as
right and left sides of the brain, processing information. But when taken within a full progression to where you go from a two-ball drill to a specific one-ball drill to drill with one step forward to one where you're sprinting to one where you're that has various variables to it. And then after that, you progress to doing it against contact.
Yes.
And then if all of these things are measured,
mm-hmm.
if you're able to do it in a measurable manner, then you're able to determine if you're actually getting better with it and how good you currently are at the specific skill.
Yeah, that's a big thing. You know, measuring is definitely a big thing. Like, that's what we started actually just doing recently. It's like, instead of shooting a bunch, we shoot a limited number and we say, what is your percentage? And then we measure, you know, what is your percentage on driving? What is your percentage on So that's really cool. That's really good information.
How's that been going since you started doing that?
It's been great because now it's like, you know, I think it honestly, as a dad, I think it makes Moses or any player focus more because they're not like, oh, we're just going to shoot till we make a certain amount. It's like, no, we have this many, so I need to focus because I only get, you know, 10 tries or 12 tries or whatever at this position. And I think it's been great. I think it's been really great.
How do you like it, Moses?
I think it's great. Yeah, I think it pushes me a little bit more than just shooting till you get a certain, till you make a certain number.
So. Yeah. That's great.
Nice.
Well, are there any other pieces of advice that you'd like to give to parents or young players?
Yeah, it would basically be to just expand a little bit on what we were just talking about with the measurement. I think that emphasizing measurable skill mastery with your son or daughter should be an emphasis instead of skill dabbling.
Right.
You see, once you start putting numbers into your drills,
right,
it becomes completely different. Instead of just drilling without a purpose, you can suddenly, at that point, compete against yourself. So your practices can become games.
Right.
So you can compete against your previous score. But in terms of what parents can do with their young players, with their son or daughter, initially when learning, here's just a little progression to go through. But if they're learning a new drill or a move, first work on it and do one. Just get to the point of being able to do it one time. And then the next goal is 2 in a row, and then 3 in a row, and eventually 10 in a row. Mm-hmm. And once at least 10 in a row can be done, then emphasize speed. So how many can be done within a given time frame?
Okay.
And so coordination first, speed second. And then when you do that, you're able to measure how good you currently are, how much you're improving, and then you can really start progressing towards mastery.
Nice.
Whereas if you weren't able to measure, then you wouldn't be able to set a numerical goal.
Right.
And you wouldn't have something to work for. You wouldn't have as much incentive to go out and put more time into it. So that's something to implement right there.
Definitely. Well, what one skill, if you had to pick one, would you suggest for a young basketball player to work on, to kind of focus on it, would you say?
Yeah, well, this one is very basic that I'm going to suggest here. But around the waist. So this is something that can be done at home. You can do this in your kitchen. You can do it in your bedroom, your living room. Grab a basketball and maneuver the ball around your waist. So you don't even have to dribble during this drill. And do it for 30 seconds. So when I was growing up, I used to go into my mom's kitchen to work on my ball handling. And she really didn't appreciate me dribbling in the kitchen because it would shake her china cabinet in the other room.
Oh, no. And,
but one type of drill that she didn't object to were ball handling drills that were above ground. And so So what I would do is I would go 30 seconds around my waist. I'd put 30 seconds on the microwave and try to see how many I could do. So when I first started, I couldn't do very many. Maybe I could do 30 and 30 seconds. And then pretty soon it was 35 and 40 and 45, 50, 55, 60. And when I was in the sixth grade, I was able to pass 60 and then 60, 66 as a seventh grader. And then it went up from there. But if I wouldn't have had that type of measurement, then I wouldn't have had the incentive and I wouldn't have been able to set those goals to be able to get faster with the ball. So that's a basic drill. But if you can't achieve mastery in one of the most basic drills, then you're not setting yourself up with a very good fundamental foundation. So that's a basic drill, but it's going to help a player's ball control, their ball speed, and it's paramount to do it in both directions. Wow. So that's something to try at home.
That is cool.
Do you have any other basketball events, camps, or online videos that are coming out in the winter or summer that parents should be keeping on their radar?
Well, we do have our university, and that comes with a 31-day trial, a free trial. And so it can be done through the Super Handles app on iOS or on Android. It actually came out on Android today.
Nice.
So that's available. So regardless of where someone is, if they have internet access, they can begin the curriculum, and you can try it out for free for a month. And that way you can begin to experience a measurable transformation before anything is paid. So you can check it out for free. But and we're going to be coming out with something that may be beneficial to some of the parents that have beginning basketball players. That's coming out. It's called Youth Basketball Secrets, but that'll also be included in the university. But those are a couple things for those of you that want to help your son or daughter and do it anywhere.
Nice. So we'll leave a link to those. I'll make sure that I get the right, you know, links from you after we get off the air here, and leave a link to those in the show notes. That's really cool. That's very cool.
Thanks, Troy. I appreciate that.
No problem. So if you could tell, you know, 12, 11-year-old John something to help him on his upcoming basketball journey looking back, what would you say to yourself at, you know, your 12 or 11-year-old self?
Put your emphasis on achieving game-ready skill mastery instead of skill dabbling.
Nice.
The majority are skill dabbling. They're doing drills. There's no measurement or very little measurement in the drills. But once you put the emphasis on mastery and on measurement, it's a totally different ball game.
Yeah.
Then your workouts can become games.
Nice. That is nice. So how can people connect with you and learn more about Super Handles?
Well, you can come by the Instagram page. It's Super Handles on Instagram, and Super Handles Facebook page, and also superhandles.com. We have a little basketball social network on there as well. So those are a few ways to get in touch and communicate.
Nice.
All right. Well, thank you for your time.
Yes, well, thank you so much.
I just want to thank both of you for having me on this podcast with you. You've been very gracious, and it's very much appreciated. So I just want to thank you very much for that.
Well, thank you, sir. And we'll again, everyone, please click on the show notes. If you are, you know, somewhere where you can't access them or whatever, just remember superhandles.com. You can go there and can find out all the information about John and watch some amazing videos, and get some more information about how to help yourself become game ready and work on mastery, which is pretty awesome. All right, everyone, we'll talk to you guys soon. All right, talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Next up, are super teams getting out of hand? And if so, is Duke the new super team? Find out what we think in the next Hoop Chalk Basketball Podcast. See you there.
Thanks for listening to the Hoop Chalk Basketball Podcast at hoopchalk.com.